neighbour's relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zachariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to do. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around him. When all these things were being talked about throughout the whole country of Judea, all that were heard about him took it to heart, saying, what then will this child become? For indeed, the Lord's hand was with him."
David, thank you. Now, do stay in, young people. We're only going to be thinking about this passage for 10 minutes. Do keep a copy of the Bible open in front of you, if you can. That will help you and me. And, of course, the room is there if anybody feels the need to slip out. So you don't have to stay if that's difficult, or if being out there would be easier for you. But just a word of prayer before we begin. Father God in heaven, we thank you. Your word is all about us. And we pray we would see and understand about him in this portion of your word now. Bless us, we pray. As indeed you have blessed us richly in so many other ways. And we thank you that we can turn this portion of our financial blessing back to you in the offering. And we turn our lives back to you in the same way and give of our time and our intelligence and our heart. And we ask our Father that you would use us for your glory. Amen. I mean, young people, what's the favourite name that you've come across? Favourite name you would perhaps give your child if you're a bit older and you've started thinking about that, or that you wish mum and dad had given you? No, don't tell us that, but what's the favourite name that you've come across? What's your favourite name, young people? Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, I'm right. Yes, I don't know what to say about that. Okay, why? I'm intrigued. It's just a great name. Neb. Okay, another one. Who your favourite name, young people?
Cassidy.
After Butch Cassidy. Okay. We'll talk about this later. okay. Young people, any more favourite names? No? Oh, you all like the name you were given? All right, parents. Parents, your turn now. Older ones, those of you, how do you choose names? What was it that guided you to choose the names that you chose when you had the opportunity to give a name to somebody? The Bible. Yeah. Well, that's where my mum got mine from. I've got. Yep. Family name. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay. Wow. Intriguing. Yes. Yes. Any more for any more? Yeah. Okay. I'm intrigued. What's the cheesecake made of? No, sorry. I've never heard of an Eli cheesecake. There is an Eli cheesecake. Wow. Oh, we're going to have to find out what that recipe is. We really are. Okay. One more. Anybody else? No?
Joy.
Absolutely. And it's true, isn't it? Actually, although we choose for very many reasons, often children live up to their name. And there's a way, I think, in which God overrules sometimes. Not always, perhaps, but he allows that and enables that in the choosing of a name. Well, tradition dictates for Zach and Liz that names stay in the family and that you don't choose names from outside the family. And given that Zach can't speak, the neighbours and the relatives are going to do what they thought was best and follow the tradition. God has obviously done something in Zach's life. Just recently, he was at the temple and he was struck dumb, having won the lottery, if you like, because that's how it was done. There was a drawing of lots and he had been chosen for something which was quite unusual, quite rare. And on that quite rare and unusual occasion, when he had gone into the temple and done everything right, and actually he'd been doing everything right all his life, God met with him. And everybody's saying, wow, there's only one name this baby can have. It's Zach Jr. He's got to be called after his dad, to remind everybody that that's what happened. God met with Zach. So this is Zach Jr. We've got to remember that. But God had a greater plan. And God has overruled and he's spoken specifically into this case. And the baby must be called John. He must be called John because he has a special job to do, and because, as we read in verse 66, if the scriptures are open in front of you, the Lord's hand was with him. Now, there's a remarkable truth, isn't there? The Lord's hand was with him. The hand is the doing. The hand is the strength. The hand is what is put to the job. John has a job to do. It's God's job. God's going to do it through him by his power. Now, that's remarkable, isn't it? Isn't that the sort of blessing, parents, that we desire for our children, that God's hand would be on them? Young people, I say to you, this is something you should desire, that God's hand be on your life, to empower you, to strengthen you, to guide you, to encourage you. But what does it mean? What does it really mean that God's hand is on his life? Well, we have to work that out from the promise that was given before and the life of John the Baptist that we read about afterwards. Now, I'm not going to dip into all of that today. If you want to remind yourself, read the promise given to Zechariah and read the life of John the Baptist in the Gospels, and you will be able to work all of that out. But what you will see is that the hand of the Lord was laid on John's life and he became a different person. He was changed, what we say is sanctified. He was made more holy. His heart was different. He was renewed from the inside out. He became a different person to all those around him. He was taught and he was trained for a special job. Through his early days, he learned things and he had experiences, and then he is brought to this point of ministry. He was strengthened enough to be what we call the forerunner of God, the one who went in front and proclaimed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world is here. He was encouraged to stand and look at the world around him and say, do you know that over there, it's wrong. You guys over here who are doing this, that is wrong. He stood up and he said, that's wrong, it needs to change. Now that takes real strength, that does. Many people go quietly and don't offer an alternative and don't challenge. But John was given this particular gift. And the gift of God's hand on his life was throughout his life, because he was comforted in his last hours and tragically he lost his head. Actually, that's really a sad way of saying it, because he didn't lose his head. It was chopped off by the king. We're told in the Bible that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. From before he was born, he was special. And we should understand that the grace of God the Holy Spirit appearing in him as he did, as a boy and a man, changed him. It was the power of the hand of the Lord on his life, making him special. And friends, parents, it's what we pray for our children. All of us, isn't it what we should desire for ourselves? It's the best portion. It's the happiest portion. It's the only portion in life that can never be lost. Because if God lays his hand on you now, he will not let go. And though you may die, you will live with him in heaven. And if that's you today, one day you'll meet John. And you'll be able to ask him what it was like. It's good that we have teachers. It's good that we have instructors. It's better still that we have the hand of the Lord on our lives to instruct us. Whatever else we gain in this world, you may have been offered a great university place. You may already be in that great university place. You may have sponsorship from a multinational corporation, and they're going to take you around the world and give you all that you desire, humanly speaking. It is far better to have the hand of the Lord on your life. 1,000 times better. When Jesus holds us in his hand, he holds us forevermore. Well, let us bless God that the Lord never changes. What he did for John the Baptist, he can do for us. What he did for the son of Zach and Liz, he can do for us today. But he waits to be asked. If you would have the hand of the Lord with you, you must diligently seek it. You must ask him for it. It's what he wants for you. But is it what you want? To be blessed. How can you have that? How can that be? Well, Zach helps us here as well in the text. You see, if you recall, Zach had a problem. He couldn't speak. Why was he dumb? Why was he under this affliction? Why was this difficulty in his life? What has changed that means as he says this thing, he's not going to be called Zach Jr., he's going to be called John. What changes at that point that he gets his speech back? Because it wasn't sort of seeing the doctor and vocal practice and physiotherapy. It was miraculous. He lost it miraculously. He got it back miraculously. What makes Zach resist the insistence of the relatives to name John Zach Jr.? What makes him stick with what the angel Gabriel said? 9 months struck dumb has made him think, made him realize, helped him to understand. His heart has changed. He is no longer faithless. He is faithful. He no longer doubts and says, "No way, Gabriel, you may be an angel from heaven and I'm in this holiest place. This is obviously a messenger from God. No way, it can't happen." There's none of that anymore. As God has spoken, it must be. He believed and he obeyed. How often is this true for us, that we learn the best lessons in the hard times? I think that's what's going on here. Zach has the hardest of times and he learns this great and glorious lesson. What a profitable time that he learned about his own heart and that he learned about God's heart for him. It's proved in the way he acts. That great Bishop Ryle says, "Correction had proved to be needful instruction. He was ashamed of his unbelief. Like Job, he could say, 'I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you.'" So here is an eye-opening moment for Zach. And this can be our experience too. We cannot escape trouble in this sin-laden world, but in our time of trouble, we can make a passionate prayer. "Lord, I would hear your way. I would see you at work in my life. Lord, help. Help me in my unbelief. Give me faith to trust you. Help me obey you." Sometimes sorrow humbles us and drives us near to God. When we see the sin in the world, we should turn to this one who is the Savior. No case is more hopeless than that of the man who in time of affliction turns his back on God, for then he is denying the hope of heaven. It's a dreadful mark set against one of the kings of Judah in 2 Chronicles 28. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. My friends, we should be warned not to go that way, but with Zechariah to turn to the Lord. Despite his earlier problem, he is now believing and faithful. He chose truth over tradition. And here's the deal. You've got that choice today. You can choose truth or tradition this Christmas. You see, there's one more thing in this passage. It's in verse 58. It's written that they rejoiced with her. They rejoiced with her. Jesus once said there is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And that's often mirrored here on earth in a church. For baptism follows repentance, and we get to celebrate too, as Elizabeth's neighbours and relations did. Oh, that were more common. The Christian life is not to be lived on your own. Sympathy in one's joys and sorrows costs very little, but it's a powerful encouragement that we share with one another. It's like the oil in the car's engine or a fast internet connection. If you don't have it, you suddenly realize everything starts grinding to a halt. But when we come into the community of God's people and we share with one another, our grief can be eased, doubled. It's one of the great facets of the church that makes it attractive to those who are outside when they get to see it. It's the special command of Scripture: rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. It's the pattern that the Lord Jesus set for us. If you look at his life, he went to a marriage feast and he went to a gravesite. And so here's the question for you this morning. As we think truth or tradition, at the end of this life, will you go to a marriage or to a... Will you be joining many of us at the wedding feast of the Lamb as we meet the Lord Jesus and celebrate for the rest of eternity that perfect unity that this church is just a little snapshot of? Or is your future so much worse than weeping at the side of a grave? Truth or tradition? I think we must answer the question this Christmas. We each must choose which matters the most. The shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. They could have stayed there, but when the glory of the Lord shone around, they responded, they listened, they believed, they went and saw for themselves. Jesus is God come down. And then they went back praising God. Will that be you today with the shepherd, seeing the truth in the midst of all the tradition that Jesus has come to save? Stand and sing with me.